You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One who has come to be our Good Shepherd. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it is the fourth Sunday of Easter, which I told you a little bit earlier, is always Good Shepherd Sunday. And I have a friend who is also a pastor who has an uncle who is a shepherd in New Zealand. And I always thought that that would be just kind of a nice thing to have in your back pocket. I always sort of envied him a little bit because, you know, at least once a year, these readings come up. Every fourth Sunday of Easter, it's always Good Shepherd Sunday. And I don't know about you, but I don't know anybody who is actually a shepherd. And this guy, he does, his uncle. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean, I think, that he knows that much about sheep, but he can at least give his uncle a call, send his uncle an email, say, hey, how does this shepherding thing work? Because I don't know. I don't know much about how sheep work. I don't know much about how shepherds work. Sure, I've seen all of the kids' books that show me all of those different things, but I'm not really sure how legit that is. And you can only really glean so much from watching YouTube videos of shepherds. And so maybe you're in that same boat. Maybe you're like, well, okay, I kind of know what a sheep looks like. I've maybe eaten one once. But outside of that, I really don't know how sheep operate. And I think that there's a little bit of a barrier to us there. We kind of get stuck in these like sentimental ideas of what a shepherd actually is. And I think something that kind of gets close is coaching. Now, like being in a football town, being at a football school, we kind of know what it's what a good coach is like, right? So just yesterday, we had the Garnet and Gold game, which is a guaranteed loss for FSU. Also a guaranteed win, but you know, it's kind of a weird thing. It's sort of a scrimmage game, and leading up to that, I knew some people that work here at FSU that all through this week they were invited to be coach for a day. In fact, one of the people that I know that I considered to be a friend was invited to be coach for the day back on Thursday. And so she was there along with Coach Norvell and was invited to do all sorts of fun things and got to hang out with Coach Norvell and get to know what it was like for him to be a coach. And I would say that he's a good coach. He's at least a good coach until this season goes through. And then we'll see how good of a coach he is, because then some of you will turn on him, depending on how things play out. And so, you know, he's a good coach yet at this point. And so it would be interesting to kind of know what it was like to hang out with a good coach. And as we start to think about what it means to be a good coach, there's all sorts of things that maybe pop up for you. Maybe a good coach is a coach who really cares about his players. Maybe a good coach is a coach that doesn't confuse his team's winning with his own winning. Maybe a good coach is a coach who really cares about the fundamentals instead of just the score that happens. And maybe a good coach is somebody who is, you know, is somebody who's outside of that. Maybe you think that a good coach is actually a coach that makes sure that everybody is performing to their top ability, and you don't care if they're sort of nice and cuddly and cute. But whatever it is, you can kind of think about, okay, well, I think I know what a good coach is, either from, you know, watching them on the sidelines, or maybe you've experienced what it's like to have a good coach. And I think a good coach kind of like connects up with us a little bit in the same way that a good shepherd connected with the people that Jesus was talking to.
This kind of sense of, hey, when Jesus is talking to them, he's saying, he's using this metaphor of, I am the good shepherd. And here's what the good shepherd does. The good shepherd does a lot of these things that you would think, okay, these things kind of connect up with what it means to be a good coach. And so he says things like that the good shepherd, he lays down his life for the sheep. That he's willing to take the hits even in order to protect his sheep, in order to protect his players. And the good shepherd knows the sheep. That was the thing that my friend didn't have. You know, when you get to be coach for the day on a Thursday, that means that you maybe know some of the players' names, but that's probably about it. And that's the other thing that Coach Norvell does. Coach Norvell really gets to know all of the players that are on his team. That's a part of his job, is he really gets to know who those folks are. And so we start to sort of see what Jesus is saying about himself. That Jesus is saying that he is this good shepherd, that he is this person who is leading people into a fuller life, a better existence, a safer place because of what he's done. And surely because of his death and resurrection, that is the chief thing that makes him the good shepherd. The chief thing that makes him the good shepherd is that he lays down his life of his own accord. And so it's not like anybody is forcing him into being the good shepherd. Nobody's putting a gun to his head and saying, well, it's either this gun or the wolf. You get to choose. But rather, this good shepherd, out of his love for the sheep, lays down his life for the sheep of his own accord. And as he lays that down, they are made safe. And as we know, our sins are forgiven as Jesus lays down his life. And then out of that, Jesus is raised up again so that we might truly know that he is the good shepherd, that God has said that he's the good shepherd. And so when we think through, okay, what does it mean to be a good shepherd? There's all of that stuff there. And all of that stuff is there because we recognize, kind of like we were talking with the kids, that we are little sheep. Yeah, sheep are kind of smelly. Sheep are kind of dirty. Sheep are kind of dumb. Sheep are not exactly the thing that you would call somebody if you wanted to give them a compliment. You know, if try it sometime this week. If you walk up to somebody and you say, you know what, you remind me a lot of a sheep. Just see kind of like what their reaction to that is. I just see how it goes. And it's probably going to be confusing. And as they think about it, they're going to get madder and madder at you. And they're not going to talk to you. And, you know, they're going to have to end up forgiving you at some point. Because being a sheep is not necessarily a good thing. And that's who we are. We are sheep. We're people that need God's intervention in our life. We need a good shepherd. We need somebody who's going to lay down his life for us because, and Jesus doesn't get into these specifics, but because we have basically invited the wolf in. You know, we've been like posting ads on Craigslist to find a good wolf to come by. Because we've been looking for new ways to sin. We've been looking for different ways that we can invite sin into our lives. And so because of that, well, the good shepherd has to lay down his life for this stinking wolf that has come in that we have invited in. Because that's what we do. Because we're sheep. Not only that, but even when we're not inviting the wolf, well, we're traipsing off places where we shouldn't be. We're going into places where we know that we shouldn't be. And because of that, we need a good shepherd who's going to come in after us. And so there's not only this kind of notion of the good shepherd is somebody who takes care of us, the sheep. But in that, there's also a recognition that we need a good shepherd because we are dirty, stinking sheep. But the amazing thing here is that when we get to John's epistle, there's kind of something new that comes up. There's kind of something new that when we start to really start to think about, okay, well, what does this mean for us to be Well, to be people that understand that Jesus is the good shepherd, well, John seems to take that a little bit further. That what John seems to be saying is that now all of a sudden, because we are sheep, we are called to kind of something new. That what it means for John to have us be people that are taken care of by the great shepherd is not that we're just hanging out and eating grass all the time. But rather, what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to take care of the needs of the brothers. We're supposed to exhibit personal righteousness in our lives. We're supposed to be something that becomes something other than just a sheep. Now, we're still going to be sheep. We can't change that inherent DNA about us. But what John is telling us in this epistle is that simply by the fact that we have a good shepherd is that we're going to start behaving a little bit differently. We're going to be different sheep. We're going to be growing better wool. We're going to be all sorts of better things. That it doesn't just mean that because we have a good shepherd, that all of a sudden that we're kind of okay. But we're even more than okay. We're better than okay. We are being led into a new experience of sheepdom. An experience of sheepdom that isn't quite as dirty, isn't quite as smelly, isn't quite as stupid. And that's a beautiful thing. Because in that, we recognize that what God is doing in our lives is actually working stuff out. That he's actually leading us into a place where we're coming back to what he created us to be, which is people who start to take care of the creation around us. That we are people that God has put in our place in order to be his image. And that's the problem that shows up in this Acts text. So in this Acts text, we're calling back to this like kind of mysterious figure that we've talked about now several times as we've been going through the book of Acts. There's this guy who was lame, and Peter and John, they came by and they said, well, I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have, I give you. Rise up and walk. And he gets up and he walks. And that causes a whole big scene. It causes Peter to give this sermon. And after that sermon, the authorities call him in. And it says in the text that they are very annoyed. I mean, they're just, this Peter guy and this John guy, they're healing people. How frustrating. And you get to see what it means to be a sheep there. What it means to be a sheep is that when you look at somebody who's getting healed of a lifelong disease, that you look at that and you say, this is frustrating to me, this is annoying to me, because this is messing with my power structure, because this is messing with the things that I think should be. There's all sorts of stuff in there that show us that these religious elite of the Jerusalem temple are not acting as they should be. Because how they should be acting is acting in accordance with what God has created them to be. They should be acting in accordance with the idea that they have been given this amazing ability to be working in the power of God. They should see what Peter and John are doing and celebrating it and asking questions about it. But rather, what they're doing is they're trying to shut it up, trying to make sure that nobody finds out about it. And that's not what we want to be. Rather, what we want to be is we want to be the kind of sheep that God is creating us to be. That yes, we do have those sinful inclinations in our heart. We do have those things in us that make us want to sin. That make us want to sin in thought and in word and in deed. those sinful things inside of us. But what God has done through the power of his death on the cross and his resurrection from the tomb that is applied directly to you in your baptism, so that you are now in Christ, you're in Christ's flock, his fold, that now all of a sudden you are a super sheep. You are brought into a new way of living. And it's a way of living that is preparing you for an eternity. An eternity of blessedness and righteousness. That you begin to see the traces of today. So as you go forth from this place, remember that you are a sheep. And because of that, you are prone to wander off. You're prone to invite the wolf in. You're prone to do all sorts of stinking sins. But that Christ is your good shepherd. And that by being in his flock, he has made you even more than what you were before. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.